we are one commissioner short. Our final agenda item of the day is a briefing on the Albina vision. We will wait for Commissioner Ballister to return.
So, Chair, Madam Chair, before Commissioner Ballister comes back, I need to inform you that I am on the board of Albina Vision Trust, and this is one of very important volunteer projects for me. And although this is just a briefing and we're not bringing anything here for the commission to advise or give guidance, just for the perception, I would like to stay away from the dais and we'll be in the back of the room.
Okay, thank you.
I could make a statement too, I don't think bow out, but I have colleagues at ZGF. They're working on the engineering team for the Rose Corridor I-5 project, which is adjacent to this. So,
thank you very much. Jessica, Andrew, Sam, would you like to declare something?
I'm fine.
All good. Okay. All right. And here's Don. Great. We are ready to begin. Our apologies for such a late start. We had a very well-attended design advice request earlier today that had much public comment, and so we are a little bit behind schedule. We are sorry for that. Tim, do you have an introduction to make, or shall we turn it over to the team?
The fine group of people to my left, I'd love to hear them introduce themselves.
Excellent. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Is it on? Okay. Rakiya Adams. I'm the chair of the Albina Vision Trust Board and by day, chief investment officer at Meyer Memorial Trust.
And I'm Tim Eddy with Henneberry Eddy Architects, and we've been working with the Albina Vision Trust doing the physical planning for the district.
Good evening. My name's Tom Cody. I'm a founding board member of Albina Vision Trust, and my day job is managing partner of project.
Shall we dive in, Chair? Okay.
Yes, so, please. It's all yours.
I understand we are the only thing between you and freedom this evening, so we'll try to keep it peppy and interesting. The Albina Vision team came together somewhere around 4 years ago, 25 people, from very different backgrounds to try to envision a new way of thinking about what is Lower Albina. A lot of people know of as the Rose Quarter. Some artists, some creatives, some developers, people with historic connections to the community. Today, listening to you talk about the Grand Avenue mixed use project, I could hear the three things you focused on in context, the public realm, and quality and permanence, and hopefully you'll see us touch on those concepts. Even though this isn't a specific building, it is a neighborhood design concept, and we hope that you find it very well within the scope of the work that you do. So I wanna make sure you hear answers to those questions I heard directed at some of the other projects, and if we don't answer them squarely, I'm happy to circle back on them. Also wanna thank all of you for making time to talk to us to hear this update. And to the staff, as I sat and listened to all of the presentations, I could see all of the amazing work that the staff is doing, and I just wanna acknowledge that you did that for us this afternoon. So this is an image from the west side of Portland and Forest Park, looking east into Portland, and you'll see at the top in the center of the screen the Steel Bridge, and to the left of it the Broadway Bridge. And those are the north-south boundaries for what is Lower Albina. And then out a little bit further than the riverfront, the east bank of the Willamette River, is the Lloyd District. So that area, the area that we're focused on is generally the area between Broadway and the Steel Bridge, Lloyd District to the river, with the exception of the Blanchard School site, which is just north of the bridge. The interesting thing about this image is it's about 1940. You'll notice the street grid, how that part of the city is connected with the rest of the city. This is an image of Lower Albina after that community was acquired largely by eminent domain and bulldozed by the city. It led to the creation of what is now PDC, but PDC wasn't created at the time. There's an important detail later that we'll talk a bit about in this process of clearing the land that allows for some of our visioning today. Anyway, those 25 people got together and we thought, wow, this looks almost like Eastern Europe after the war, like Warsaw or parts of Berlin, and we really decided to really imagine a radical new future for that community. But before we did that, we spent a year talking to each other to trust one another enough to have an open conversation about what actually happened there. So we dug into the history of the community, and these are some images of houses and churches in the neighborhood. I joined this work because my family, in moving during the Great Migration, settled in Lower Albina. My great-grandmother crossed the Steel Bridge or the Broadway Bridge to work in what is the Pearl today. My grandfather was a shipbuilder and worked in the shipbuilding industries. And this neighborhood was attractive to them because it was affordable. It was affordable because it was proximate to the river. And we know that at the time, the river wasn't really that pretty. There were industrial uses. Where OMSI is, there was a coal-fired power plant. So it was affordable because it wasn't really desirable. But for my great-grandmother, it was also proximate to work. So during the bus boycotts, and they could walk to work, they didn't actually need to drive or bicycle to work. Some of the same things that attracted her to that neighborhood attract young people to it today. But if you look at some of the images here, you'll see the grocer there is not African-American. You'll look at the jazz scenes. This is a part of Jazztown in Portland. Look at those young women in the audience in the early 1950s. Think about what was happening around the country. Emmett Till, the violence roiling the Jim Crow South, and this was happening in Portland. It was a largely African-American and German community, and there were arts and lots of lively intersections there. This image is a time lapse of the community that you'll see some of our major infrastructure and community destruction happened. Top left, 1949, as we started to expand Interstate Avenue northward. Top center, again, more expansions of interstate. You see in the top right image, that's a smaller version of it. In 1958, the site area was regraded, lifted up a little bit higher to get it out of the floodplain for the river, and that's an important detail in the design work later. In the middle bottom, look at all that parking. So we essentially destroyed a residential neighborhood that was vibrant and affordable and diverse, and we monumented an architecture and built parking lots. You'll see in the bottom right corner the freeway overpasses that we continue to discuss today on I-5. Here's an overhead image of the community now. You'll notice how large those buildings are. You also note that we pinched the river between the Steel Bridge and the Broadway Bridge. Overhead, you can see the railway lines that run adjacent to the river. And the Blanchard site just north of Broadway. Can you see that really large building up there? Another detail for you to note is the freeway, which is I-5, just to the right of the Moda Center and left of the Convention Center, how it cuts off the cityscape. That's one of the major design challenges that we had to wrestle with. When we started this work, Mayor Hales, the Trailblazers, a number of other business people were involved in the conversation. It was a really rich, productive conversation. The upside of all of these different voices involved is that we imagined this work without the constraints of being practical. We said, what would we do if we could redesign this part of the city to be equitable, to be dense, to be diverse, to restitch the city together? So you'll see some of our work really is forward-looking when it comes to the freeway in particular. But after that year of conversation, when we came across the issues about race, the city was very frank in its intention. It wanted to get poor and black people out of the central city and to build monuments to modernity. We also wanted to make freeway traffic easier. The airport moved from Swan Island to its current location, so the I-584 connection needed to go somewhere. So there were a number of drivers that contributed to the destruction of this community, but we don't want to mince words in that there was a lot of racism in the decision. So in facing that, we decided to deal with it head on. We said, instead of thinking about the buildings first, let's think about the values that we think should drive whatever is there. And we came up with these values, and we want to be open and frank about the inspiration that came with them. So you'll see some of the images. The first value is that we wanted it to be a place to live, work, and play. We wanted it to be a neighborhood where people could walk, where they had parks, and where schools could connect children in homes safely in transit to and from school. The second was that we wanted to talk about what we were monumenting in that community. We have the beautiful architectural heritage of the Memorial Coliseum, but there was this question hanging over what we were actually monumenting. So we looked around the world for inspirations for cities that really worked hard to be frank about what happened in urban design so that we could heal and move forward together. And Berlin was a big inspiration, as was Dublin. The third is that we wanted to reconnect the east side to the river. So we looked around the world for cities with large infrastructure investments adjacent to the river and tried to think about how we could connect all of the heavy infrastructure there, the bridges, the freeways, the rail yards, the transit stations, how we could make all of that work in light of their positions close to the river. And these were some of our inspirations. The fourth is that we wanted to integrate arts in the process and product. That neighborhood was creative. There were lots of musicians who lived there. And for my great-grandmother, you didn't need to be rich to partake in the artistic endeavors of the people who lived in that community. We were really inspired by Millennium Park in Chicago, that central image. It's important because there's also parking underneath that that park. And then we started to think about how could we have the arts really woven into the fabric of the community and have it be a place that people could gather and enjoy the waterfront. This is the last and most important goal. Because what we did there was so remarkable in destroying a community, we thought we needed to be equally intentionally remarkable in building something else. So we looked around the world for inspirations for expressing our intention to take better care of each other, take better care of the river, and to express that in design. So we agreed that the last value that we wanted to reflect was being intentionally remarkable. We wanted to be ambitious. In all of the complexity that is in that community, the infrastructure, the destruction, the history, the lack of trust, the sports facilities, their massive scale, we needed to try to describe what we're proposing in a simple illustration. This tries to capture that. We had a street grid that was affordable and connected to the city, to the east, to the Lloyd District, and to the north, to the rest of Albina and the central east side to the south. And we destroyed it, as illustrated in the center, and put up very large format buildings. And to the right, we're saying, we think the future will build itself around those large format buildings. We don't want to think about them going away. We hope the trailblazers stay. We hope the beautiful architecture that is the Memorial Coliseum finds a use. But we want to build communities around them so that that might inform how we use those buildings instead of deciding what to do with them first. So at a high level, that's what we're getting at. We also think this neighborhood is really exciting because it's one of few central city green spaces, for lack of a better concept, where we can actually do major design work and build density in a way that would move the needle for the entire city.
Thanks. So in developing the physical vision that followed that conversation about what this community should be in the future and how we would take this area of the city that had really been hollowed out, the grid and the city had been hollowed out for you know, large facilities, large structures, Interstate Avenue and I-5. Our initial thoughts were that we were working toward potentially a 50-year vision. And, you know, it's really hard to tell. It could be a much shorter term vision based on how quickly the city is changing around us. But it's an area of about 94 acres. As Rukaya said, our area of study went from the Steel Bridge north to the Blanchard Center. I don't know if I've got, I got the little paw, so we're good. So Blanchard Center here. So basically area of study was about like that. And it's about 94 acres. Our initial analysis was that we needed to connect to the river. We needed really to establish a healthy public realm based on functional public spaces. And we've got public spaces here now. The main public space in the Rose Corridor is bounded by the two arenas and parking garages. So it's basically an empty, you know, classic windswept plaza when the arenas are dark. The other notions were to span across Broadway and integrate the area north of Broadway, north and west of Broadway, into the Rose Quarter, and to stitch the entire district back into Northeast Portland with strong connections across I-5, and that's kind of this big gesture here. Really to use that to reconnect to the existing residential neighborhoods as well as the Lloyd District and things in that area. So our first step was to develop a short-term development plan. And the first part of it, I'm actually going to back up for just a second and point out these two parking garages right here, which many of you have probably parked in, you're probably familiar with, that were built at the time the Moda Center was built, in addition to this parking garage attached to the Moda Center. Our first step was we looked at these and we said, well, we realize this is a district that is really where people will gather now and in the future. These are big public facilities, big civic facilities. There has to be parking, but this parking is in the wrong place, and that the band-aids that have been proposed to change those buildings and make them behave a little bit better won't really fix the big problem, which is any public space that you create around the VMC or the Moda Center has a real difficult time connecting to Broadway and connecting to the city to the north. So we took those two parking garages, and three parking garages really, and removed them, and suggested that there would be a major public space created, bounded by Memorial Coliseum, Moda with a new major entry to the north, and potential developable sites around it that would accommodate parking beneath that deck. We would then link that bridge across Interstate Avenue. As you recall, Rukaya mentioned that the grade had been raised in this area. So if you pass by there, you'll see that if you take the entry level, the main concourse level of Memorial Coliseum, it's just about the right height to just span right across. And then you could have the potential to link this major public space to a green space at the edge of the river. There were many infrastructure challenges in the district that we chose in initial planning to allow to remain in place. One of which is freight rail along the edge of the river. And understanding how challenging anyone who's worked with trying to relocate freight rail or change it in any major way, we elected to leave it where it is and let the project accommodate it. And so you'll see a little bit further in the presentation, we've got a section cut through in this direction. which shows that we can still come across Interstate Avenue and then terrace down to the river or toward the river and create essentially a high edge along this side, which spans out over either next to or above freight rail without necessarily putting it into a tunnel, but creating a space where you see out beyond it to the city. These are some of the finest views back of downtown from the main concourse level of the Coliseum. Redeveloping the core of the site, the one center court building that's currently there is not a highly efficient building for the site. And in initial planning and talking with the Trailblazers, it seemed like that could be sacrificed and additional development could be brought in an initial phase to reinforce the community there, as well as at the Steel Bridgehead and the Broadway Bridgehead, developing those sites, which in the current zoning documents have very high height limits and big FARs. So the future vision, which is if you've seen renderings of the vision, this is mostly what you're looking at. So you see these main spaces and dedication of this public space along the river as civic space, rather than private development condominiums or anything of that nature. With civic open space as well as potentially performance facilities or other cultural facilities. The idea long term is that the VMC site is a civic and cultural site, as is MODA, which will, as I said, draw people to the district to gather. As we jump across Broadway to the north, we suggest a linear park to organize that neighborhood and connect these two pieces of the vision together, and then essentially redevelopment of that land for housing, commercial, affordable housing, commercial, and so forth. When we get to the freeway, and this is a fairly bold approach to it, but as you see, the freeway disappears here and reappears down here with a couple of ramps slicing through it. Long term, ideally, we would love to see the freeway decked in a way that will accommodate building structures and knitting the community back together, so that as you pass down Broadway or out Widler, that you're able to have pretty much a seamless experience as you pass through there. So this is that image I mentioned where, as you can see, here's the main concourse level, this diagram of Memorial Coliseum, here's Interstate Avenue. And there's still a bunch of grade that can be used up before you get down to the water. We have the potential to actually tuck parking in here that would replace some of the parking that's being removed from the in the earlier phase, and then spanning out. Or even if this were to stop at this point, you still are above and over the rail lines. Using as an inspiration, the Sculpture Park in Seattle. It's really, really interesting how the public spaces, sidewalks, and pathways are they're right next to and right over the top of major streets and rail lines, and you actually almost don't notice. So that's an idea of what an image of what that riverfront edge might be like with freight rail right down here below it.
The only other thing to add to that image, sorry, Tim.
Go ahead.
In addition to the built environment and the design community, we also put a lot of work into illustrating a diverse community where people of different age groups and different race and economic groups can mix in a dense urban area. So you'll notice in the pictures that they really are pushing us to think about the Portland of the future, and to design all elements around diversity, density, access, equity.
Thanks. And